First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we begin this hour with someone who is very, very well qualified to talk about climate change, executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America, author of 4 books on energy, climate change, and sustainable development, with over 100,000 copies in print. Steve's latest book is Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure, and his name is precious, Steve Gorham. Steve Gorham, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hi, Karen. Great to join you again.
Great to have you. So does anybody ever say that there's a Gore in your last name, G-O-R-E?
Yeah, there was the one radio broadcaster whose name escapes me at the moment who said, Gorham, the antidote for gore. That was quite a while back.
Apparently so. So we've got climate religionists who think that the recent earthquake is due to climate change and a whole host of things. How do you explain that through your new book and beyond?
Well, climate is very complex. Yeah, we just had a woman by the name of Christina Amira Khalil, if I'm pronouncing it right. She's running for candidate. She's a candidate for the Senate in New Jersey. And she said that the New York earthquake last Friday was due to the climate crisis. Which is, you know, really the first time I've heard anyone talk about an earthquake being caused by your neighbor's sport utility vehicle. But there it is. But our climate is.
Yeah. And haven't we had earthquakes for, I don't know, how long since Earth began, but only now there's a climate crisis? That's the layman non-scientist observation.
Right, all the way back to Mount Vesuvius and Pompeii and all those old days. Yeah, we've only really been putting much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere since about the end of World War II. Prior to that, there was really nothing. But our climate system is very complex. Earth's climate is shaped by forces in the solar system, the atmosphere, the oceans, and the land. And all weather on Earth, for example, is driven by sunlight, which falls. A lot of it falls on the equator, where much is absorbed, the tropical regions, and little on the polar regions. And so all of our weather, jet streams and ocean currents, hurricanes, storm fronts, are all redistributing this energy from the tropics to the poles. So there are many, many things going on that are much different than what your car is doing or a power plant. Those are really, really small forces when you look at the total.
Yeah. Well, And the problem is they always choose these things that most people don't have a background in and that are rather invisible in some way or other, so that they can not only create a problem but provide the solution for the manufactured problem, which is what they wanted all along. Look how long it took you to just explain that. How do you tell a layman person who has bought into this, doesn't have any kind of background, that there might be ulterior motives in scaring people about the weather? What are some of the most persuasive arguments for the layman person that you've come up with?
Well, pretty much everything you read in the press about climate is wrong. And one of the things I mention to people is that today's temperatures are not abnormally warm. We have the United Nations this last summer said we've entered the age of global boiling. Yeah. And most people think, gee, it's hot. I don't remember it being so hot. It must be something we're doing. But we had most of the high temperature records in the United States that were set in the 1930s. You can see that at NOAA's website. Now, we've had many times in the past 10,000 years, and these were century-long periods when it was warmer than today. There's a glacier in Switzerland called the Rhone Glacier. And for most of the last 10,000 years, that glacier wasn't there. There was no ice in that valley. But people don't realize this because they don't look at history. And so, you know, there's just a load of evidence that climate is dominated by nature, not man-made emissions. Another thing is sea levels. Sea levels, if you go to NASA, you can see that NASA says our ocean levels have been rising for the last 20,000 years. They've risen about 390 feet in the last 20,000 years. And now they're rising about 7 or 8 inches per century. But people don't realize that. They say, wow, somebody said the oceans are rising. It's going to flood our cities. It may very well do that in the long term, but you're not going to stop that by building a bunch of wind turbines. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And you know what? The reality argument is kind of preciously weak in comparison to the constant fear porn that people yeah. are fed, right? If it, and what it does is it confuses people and you know moves them away from things that really are very scary. Like in the last hour, we talked about the completely porous open border where people who mean harm to America are allowed to flood in, and yet if the people doing that can scare people and saying, you know, you're going to flood our cities if you don't buy an electric car. I'm just wondering how you can even persuade people when, in fact, the administration moves along and does what it wants, regardless of the truth. Have you found that? And what can you or anyone do about that?
Well, there's no doubt the administration and many others are using the fear of man-made global warming to put all sorts of policies forward, like restrictions on vehicles, trying to force everybody to buy an electric car, and on our trucking, try and force everyone to buy an electric truck, which is basically an impossibility, our trucking fleets. And the United Nations, for example, has some big objectives. One is to be environmental leader, and they seized on man-made climate change to do that. Another is to have world government, and they've been setting up these climate conferences where everybody in the world comes. Jacques Chirac said about 30 years ago this was the first example of global government, the climate conferences, and they want to redistribute wealth from Europe and the U.S. to the poor nations of the world. India has asked for $1 trillion a year, a small amount. To become net zero. So, the fear of man-made warming is driving all sorts of policies, but it's not clear that we can even have the slightest a measurable effect on global climate with all of these things that the government is trying to force.
Yeah, but they don't care, right? So are we fighting the wrong argument, Steve? I mean, not you. I mean, you wrote a spectacular book, but I'm saying, well, we're busy defending the facts and the faulty arguments that they're putting forth, they're getting what they want, which is the agenda. The argument seems only tailor-made to push the agenda, so they have a reason.
Well, except this is going to break down. This is not going to be possible, what they're saying. As I say in my book, Green Breakdown, we're going to have higher energy prices, electricity blackouts, loss of freedom. They want to take away your gasoline car and your gas stove. People aren't going to like that. And they're going
but they're doing it anyway.
they're but doing it's going it to break anyway. Down. Just real quickly,
how?
They want to get rid of 60% of our electricity, which is coal and gas. At the same time, they want to have everybody drive an electric vehicle, big demand hit. Have everybody have an electric stove, big demand hit. We have an AI revolution, big demand hit. So they have all these factors going. This is going to break down, and we're going to end up with blackouts.
But what if that's what they want? That's what I'm asking. What if all of that is only the precursor to what if breakdown is what they really want? I don't think the world.
I don't know.
I
don't know what's in their heart on that.
The World Economic Forum put out there flat out for everybody that nobody, probably except for the millionaires and billionaires that fly their planes to the World Economic Forum, deserves to have a private vehicle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there are some people who think that.
Isn't that pretty much what they want? We didn't get a time to talk about your book, Green. Well, we did. But how can people get it? Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure.
They can get it from my website, SteveGoreham, GOREHAM.com. I'll send them a signed copy. It's on Amazon as well, and there are ebooks as well.
Steve Goreham, Gore with Ham. Get his book. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us. We will be right back with more on The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Wireless connectivity is crucial for Americans. Smartphone technology, network speeds, and mobile services are key. But many people don't realize there's major value to be found in added customer benefits. T-Mobile is putting customers first with a new customer appreciation program. Experience VIP treatment with T-Mobile's Magenta status. New one-of-a-kind deals and experiences on nationally loved brands like hotels, rental cars, concerts, movie tickets, and more. Plus, discounts and freebies every week from T-Mobile, all at no extra cost. For T-Mobile, Cassie Slane.
With Magenta status, T-Mobile customers can now get sweet perks like 15% off across Hilton's 22 leading hotel brands worldwide and upgrades to Hilton Honors Silver. Free fuel top-off at Dollar or recharge at Hertz when returning your rental. $5 movie tickets every month and 25% off some of the hottest shows of the year.
Magenta status gives customers over $1,500 a year in extra value, all for just being T-Mobile customers. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. Last year, more than $125 million in grants funded initiatives were awarded by the program. Funding recipients were empowered to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And our very next guest is someone we've had before, and he's here to give us an update on the bombing of a pregnancy clinic that happened almost 2 years ago. His name is Reverend James Harden, CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services. And thank you, Reverend, for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so because it's almost 2 years ago and many people remember it, why don't you refresh our memory as to exactly what happened it was upstate New York, wasn't it? In Buffalo.
Correct.
That's right.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this crime, this domestic terrorist crime, then we'll get into what the FBI is or is not doing about it.
Sure. So prior to the overturning of Roe versus Wade 2 years ago, June, the case was leaked, as you recall, and that sparked kind of a crime wave, pro-abortion crime wave across the country, where pro-abortion kind of violent extremists were rising up and engaging in violent talk as well as action. They call it direct action. And so there's a 30-day ultimatum. There was a firebombing in Madison, the 30-day ultimatum by James Revenge for pregnancy centers to shut down or face similar action. 30 days came and went, and we were firebombed on day 30 in Buffalo. It was $500,000 of damage. Two firefighters were injured in putting out the blaze. We fortunately were able to rebuild that facility within 52 days. But nevertheless, the attacks continued. Now there have been over 300 attacks of some sort of against pro-life entities over the last 2 years. And so here we are today. The FBI has not made any progress. We gave them we had to file a lawsuit against the police department, local police department in Amherst, Buffalo, because they were refusing to cooperate with us in terms of sharing, giving our private property back relative to our video surveillance so that we could give it to our private investigators. The FBI put their thumb on the investigation, slowed everything way down. Let all the leads go cold, the leads that we gave them. They didn't follow up on some of the leads for 8 months, and they didn't even bother looking at the video surveillance for 5 whole weeks. I mean, the whole thing was just a farce and a sham, and it was very disappointing. And so in 2 days, they did find one of the firebombers for the Madison, Wisconsin, the initial firebombing in Madison, Wisconsin on Mother's Day 2 years ago by these pro-abortion James Revenge people. One of them was caught. There were three of them. He's a PhD biochemist, comes from a very wealthy background, apparently, and his private defense, very expensive private defense, is being paid for by a federal judiciary grant, and he's not getting charged with an act of domestic terror. He's getting a lighter sentence, and he's supposed to get sentenced on Tuesday. Now, is that a coincidence or the fact that he's getting sentenced on, I'm sorry, Thursday, what day is today? Today's Monday. So Wednesday, the 10th. So the FBI decides to put out a billboard 70 miles away from the original, from our firebombing in Rochester, New York, not Buffalo, just, a couple of days ago for information leading to an arrest for $25,000 reward for the firebombing. Why now? Why all of a sudden are they interested? Our concern is that the pattern of behavior with respect to these pro-abortion terrorists is that the violence upticks ahead of Supreme Court decision. And now we've got a Supreme Court decision on this chemical abortion case that's due again in June. So are they concerned that more violence is about to erupt? Are they sending a signal to the terrorists saying, hey, they're getting close? I think our private investigators are getting close, quite frankly. And, I don't know what's going on in the FBI. They're not communicating with us. So, this whole thing is the FBI's behavior is erratic. And quite frankly, it looks more like a PR attempting to bolster their reputation ahead of, anything that might happen against pregnancy centers again in the coming weeks and months.
What's the significance? Did you say I missed that? The significance of Wednesday? Why Wednesday is this biochemist getting charged. Why is that a significant day?
Because that's the first sentencing of anyone that's ever been charged with any crime against a pro-life entity in the last 2 years. And it happens to be in the case of the first firebombing, which we believe is directly connected with the Buffalo firebombing. And the FBI refuses to make the connection. The local police says, oh, it's totally unrelated, even though the James Revenge people made claim that they did both firebombings.
So it coincides date-wise with what? The one in help us understand that real quick.
It coincides with, interestingly enough, both dates of both firebombings. So we're basically saying, look, this particular firebomber that was arrested in Madison, Wisconsin, we believe is connected to the firebombing in Buffalo. We want to know who the people are that were his accomplices, and we want to know what the FBI is doing to solve this crime and stop the violence.
We only have a few minutes, and it's a huge topic, but I think it's important for people to understand, and I think they do, our listeners, that what we're talking about is hostility towards pregnancy services, right?
Right.
There's not hostility towards unrestricted abortion. Well, there are a lot of people that are against unrestricted abortion, but this is violence against people who want to help women to give birth, right?
Yes.
Isn't
right.
that
That's what we do.
Bizarre?
It is bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, you're not saying there's nothing in your charter, I don't think, that's saying we want to restrict abortion. You're saying, if you want to have your baby, come here and we'll help you have it, right? That's supposed to be choice. They call it pro-choice, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But they're not really interested in choice, are they, based on their behavior pattern?
I don't think so. Gosh, I mean, that's the part, sometimes the simplest obvious things get lost, you know, that I guess anybody who would want to help a woman have her baby, who might be a minority or someone who's too poor or whatever, that person is anti-abortion. Aren't there people who could be pro-abortion or so-called pro-choice who would want a woman to be able to make her own decision? Maybe she wants to have a baby. Is it now a crime to have a baby in this country? I don't know.
Well, apparently in New York State, they want to make it a crime to help a woman have a baby. That's what New York Governor Hochul is trying to do. That's what New York Attorney General shut us down. I mean,
so
look,
confusing.
All we do is provide ethical medical care and comprehensive community
care. Gosh, you know, I thought medical care was a right, except that now abortion is considered medical care and pregnancy care is not. I'm telling you, you know what? We have only a minute. Tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, and learn more about your this certain case that's going on.
Yes, thank you very much. They can go to CompassCareCommunity.com. That's CompassCareCommunity.com to learn more about this particular case, as well as how Compass Care is serving women to help them have their babies.
Yeah. We still have about 15, 20 seconds. And are they hostile to you because you're a reverend? I mean, is that part of hostility? I don't know.
It's not right. I mean, we believe that everybody needs to be protected. Every human being is worthy of protection and blessing.
How about that? Well, that's evil. That's for sure. I'm being facetious. Reverend James Harden, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We like people to have opinions, and, you know, not everybody agrees. That's the point. We're going to be right back with another guest right after this. Stay tuned on The Alan Nathan Show.
Remote work environments have given employees increased freedom and flexibility. With that comes a variety of security risks. With employees no longer tied to the office infrastructure, IT must securely manage remote employees' devices no matter where they are. A user's device can create an opportunity for hackers to breach an organization. That device must also easily connect users to IT resources so they can be productive. The Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud offers the solution for successful device management. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
With JumpCloud, you can manage your entire fleet, regardless of operating system or location, and create a scalable device management foundation. IT personnel can manage all types of devices from a single cloud console, and employees get to work on their preferred devices. JumpCloud helps you achieve compliance, monitor events, manage device data, enforce policies, patch machines, and more.
To learn more, visit jumpcloud.com.
In national health news, Waltham, Massachusetts-based Invivid has received emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for its investigational monoclonal antibody for pre-exposure prophylaxis or prevention of COVID-19 in adults and adolescents who have moderate to severe immune compromise and are unlikely to mount an adequate response to COVID-19 vaccination. Invivid's Chief Executive Officer David Herring commented.
As we've seen lately, SARS-CoV-2 continues to spread and cause unacceptably high levels of illness, hospitalizations, and death. The threat from COVID is not over, especially for vulnerable populations such as the immunocompromised.
Studies have shown that moderately to severely immunocompromised people, such as organ transplant recipients and people with certain blood cancers, among others, may not have a strong immune response to vaccines. Monoclonal antibodies work differently than vaccines to provide protection against viral threats. This new investigational therapy has been authorized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use only. It is not FDA approved for any use, and there is limited information about the safety and effectiveness of using this investigational therapy for prevention of COVID-19. It is not authorized for treatment and is not a substitute for vaccination in individuals for whom COVID-19 vaccination is recommended. For the Food and Drug Administration's letter of authorization and product fact sheets, visit this website, invivid.com. Once again, that's INVIVYD.com. The content in this report was provided by Invivid, Inc.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And you have to be living under a rock not to know that there are violence and horrors going on all around this world, and America continues to support bad guys over good. In the Middle East, that has never been more clear. And here to talk about it in her inimitable way is Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She's author of The Soros Agenda, which we have been pleased to speak with her about in the past. Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for joining us on The Alan Nathan Show. Are you there?
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's good to have you. Well, we want to find out from you. Things are escalating in Israel at an enormous rate, and it appears as if Israel is bowing to pressure finally, not finally, but after resisting for a long time, even putting radical Jewish liberals on the public stage to claim that Netanyahu ought to step down. He said they won't step down because they want to destroy Hamas. But now it looks like they are talking ceasefire. Give us the latest on that, if you could.
Yeah, they are not. There is pause in the fighting. Israel has removed a division from Gaza because they completed cleaning up, if you want, Hamas from Khan Yunis, which was a very strong, a very large very massive stronghold for Hamas. They seized tons of explosives and weapons and money and all kinds of documentation and killed hundreds of Hamas terrorists and arrested hundreds more. And so now they have moved the division out. They have been there for a very long time. This has been going on now for almost 2 days, really 6 months, since October 7th. But they have... the forces have been fighting Hamas in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, for months now. So they left only, the Israelis left only one division there, and they are preparing now their attack on Rafah, which is the last stronghold of Hamas, which have 4 to 7 divisions more of Hamas operatives, thousands more. And until that is not cleared, Israel cannot actually leave them there because Israelis don't accept it, and this is an existential threat to Israel. The Biden administration, together with Iran and the UN and Qatar, is running the show, of course, wants Israel to stop because they want to give Hamas a chance to revive itself so they can attack Israel again, as they promised to do. Israel said no, and they repeated it, and they said, and I've been listening and reading the news from there and listening to the Hebrew broadcast as well. They are preparing now for the coming attack within a couple of weeks of Rafah. And they will not. This will not be a similar attack to previous ones. This will be based more on raids, which are more appropriate to urban warfare. Urban warfare is different than regular warfare. And we have to remember that Hamas is a terrorist organization. It's not a regular army, and they don't obey by anything. They do. They are very. They are like ISIS. They are very. They are savages, really. I think the word "savages" is still has something positive in it. These are. I really don't know what to call them. They are inhuman and very cruel.
What do you make? I mean, this is such a huge issue, and we can only touch on it. But one of the things that has been so disturbing to people around the world who believe in good and evil, and there is such a thing, is this flipping the narrative.
That's very disturbing.
Yes. And all of a sudden now Hamas and Gaza is the victim and Israel is the perpetrator.
This is outrageous. Everything that happens in Gaza, all the suffering or all the casualties of the people who live in Gaza were caused because the people who live in Gaza elected Hamas as their government.
If in fact it was a free election, who knows?
It was free election. Well, it was free election at the time. I don't know what Hamas did to win it, but nobody in Gaza since 2007 had done anything in order to disrupt this government. Actually, they supported it all along. And today, 90% of the Palestinians, of all Palestinians, who are living also in Judea and Samaria, supporting what Hamas had done to the attacks of Hamas in Israel. So this is the way this population have been indoctrinated. They have been indoctrinated to do this since they were children at school, at kindergarten, through the media, through schools that UNRWA, the UN agency, have been running, through the Palestinian Authority. This is what they were taught to do, to kill Jews, to kill Israelis. And this is not all the things that they are doing. They are promising also what they want eventually. The Jews are the first because they are there. They want to do what Hamas, ISIS has also planned to do, was disrupted for now, is to kill all infidels and convert.
Well, they've been talking about that for a long time. We used to have.
And this
we
is
used
what
to have
trying to do.
Right. And we used to have administrations in this country that wanted to protect Americans from terrorism. Now they seem to be importing them. Where am I wrong?
You are not. Unfortunately, you are not wrong. And unfortunately, Americans will suffer from this, and Americans have to stand up to this and demand to close the borders and demand actually to deport people who came here from many, many Muslim countries who have been also indoctrinated to kill the infidels. So people from Iran, people from Syria, people from Libya, people from Bangladesh, all over. And they are here, and we don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. There are millions of them. And it's enough that only a few would be so inclined. They can create havoc in this country. So this is very, very dangerous. And the Biden administration apparently is looking for better voters, letting them in, thinking that they would vote for the Democrats. But this is really terrible. The idea is really... There are Iranian proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, that are shooting as we speak on Israel, rockets. It has to end in Gaza. It has to end by the complete destruction of Hamas's military and government capacity. This is the only way that Israel can actually agree to any kind of ceasefire.
Doctor, we have a very limited time. We have about a minute or less. Tell everybody what the American Center for Democracy and Economic Warfare Institute is all about, and then tell us how they can find you.
They can find the American Center for Democracy and information about what it does. Many, many articles on acdemocracy.org. acdemocracy.org. We have been working for years on detecting terrorist financing, on disinformation, on free speech, on American national security. Okay. acdemocracy.org.
Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for joining us. Too bad we didn't have a chance to unpack the idea of disinformation and what's true anymore. The liars call it disinformation, too. And so Is it propaganda? And every individual needs to determine that in a free society. Dr. Ehrenfeld, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come
back,
we'll wrap up the show with one more guest.
A new minimally invasive treatment option for prostate cancer shows successful outcomes without the side effects that often come with surgery or radiation. Prostate cancer affects 1 in 8 men in their lifetimes. The success of MRI-guided transurethral ultrasound ablation, TULSA, represents a revolution in whole-gland treatment for prostate cancer. Patients now have an alternative treatment option that has a favorable side effect profile compared to surgery, radiation, and thermal therapy. In the TULSA procedure, a small catheter-like device is inserted through the urethra into the prostate, where the tissue is heated, killing the cancer cells while protecting the sensitive nerves around the prostate. Dr. Stephen S. Raymond, Professor of Radiology, Urology, and Surgery at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA.
This image-guided therapy maximizes our ability to kill cancer cells while minimizing collateral damage to the prostate to achieve the ultimate trifecta in prostate cancer treatment, full local cancer control while maintaining urinary continence and potency.
For more information, go to sirmeeting.org, sponsored by Society of Interventional Radiology.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
Reports show Florida leads the nation in the sale of illegal disposable vapes from China. Here's former Congresswoman Mary Bono.
Because of inaction from the Biden administration, Florida became the number one state for illegal disposable vapes from China. In response, Florida's state legislature proposed a directory to help law enforcement get these illegal disposable vapes off of store shelves. Contact your legislator today and ask for a vapor products directory in your state.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ellen Nathan Show. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to everyone at the Main Street Radio Network for allowing me to be a part of the team. I always love coming in here when asked, when my schedule allows. And we're going to wrap up this hour with producer, host of the documentary film Border Wars. She was a host and producer with NTD Television, a branch of the Epoch Times. Before that, she was an activist against human rights abuses and demonstrated against China's abuses. Her name is Nicole McCaw, and we're glad to have her with us right now on the Ellen Nathan Show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
It's great to have you, too. So our show, we have been focusing on various aspects of the heartbreaking and complicated border issue going on in this country. We open the show with somebody who said our country is under military attack because of the number of hateful people, hate this country, who are coming into the border, coming in through the border or flown into the country unvetted. There's also a different side, another side, that you would think that liberals would be concerned about, and that is the enormous number of people dying in the Rio Grande River by trying to cross that river, and they're fishing bodies out of there all the time. And it's a human crisis, and yet, like, where's the left screaming about that? They screamed with Trump, saying that they were kept in cages, which wasn't really true, but others had done it. What is really going on?
You know, that's something we addressed, is we went to find, were there children in cages? We talked to the Border Patrol officer who was in the incident. Remember, he was riding the horse. There wasn't a Nigerian immigrant. He was coming in illegally. Well, they didn't show several seconds before that where he was harassing the officer, harassing the horse. So that's why he took those precautionary measures.
Where's PETA? They harassed the horse. Where's PETA?
Where's the Me Too movement? Where's those women? I would love to see that. You know, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And how I got the party started going to the border was my nephew overdosed 3 times in 48 hours on fentanyl.
Oh my God. Huh.
So I decided, as a journalist and as a mother of a son who will inherit this country, I thought, what is really happening here? And so I went on tour with the Reawakening tour with the Flynns and several others and Trump's Clay Clark and them. And I started meeting individuals across the country, and I came across private footage from a gentleman who owned a 5-star gaming ranch in Texas along the border. And so when I decided to take this adventure on, I never would have guessed what my eyes saw as an average American, raised Democrat from Detroit, Michigan. My father was delivered newspapers for the Detroit News and Free Press.
So what did your eyes see?
We saw the rape trees where 60-80% of the women
children. What's a rape tree? What?
Where places like the southern border in California and the places in Texas and Arizona, there's places where the cartel will take the people they're trafficking in. They're smuggling in these foot smugglers, and they will rape the children, and they will put their underwear and hang it in celebration. I thought this was a lie. I said, now, wait a minute. Come on. On American soil, let's be real. No,
oh
I said,
God.
Tell me where it's at. So we went there. The men who accompanied myself filming, right, they called that the night of horror. They went back as fathers to their hotel rooms, and they cried because they couldn't believe the things that we heard. And the police are called. Nobody came because they're too busy. You know, if you go to borderwarsdoc.com, there's a number there, 16.5 million. This is how many people we've allowed to come, and that includes the 60,000 crutches.
How many?
16.5 million. And let me tell you how I got that number. We've heard, you know, 14 million from Trump. We've heard, you know, 8 million from different three-letter agencies, you know, in the news with the lying legacy media. But Todd Bensman is a gentleman I interviewed. He's a 25-year border analysis specialist who currently works for the Center of Immigration. And when I was working with him, he showed me what the numbers look like. They're underreported severely, so people won't understand the true picture on what's happening because it will make a lot of the individuals look very bad. And this was something that he was showing me by numbers. You can't lie with data. So with the people they're allowing in, the gotaways as well, and the 60,000 extra touches monthly, from January of 2021, this is their data at 16.5 million. That's more.
And many of those people are not Hispanic. They're from Arab countries. They're terrorists. They are people that hate this country and mean it no good. And yet we have an administration that seems to love bringing in as many as possible. What does your movie show about that, if anything?
You know, it was interesting going state to state and working with different individuals from three-letter agencies. And something, and you know, recently there's been a lot of individuals who stepped up and done good border pieces. Don't get me wrong. But what makes this one different is that there's actual American traffic victims who were groomed online by members who are here illegally, who are online looking for these children as well. And so she was groomed online at 13 years old for 3 years. And then she met her handler at her high school, convinced her mom to let her leave school as long as she can continue getting the SSI checks. They lived in Action Park, New Jersey.
She convinced her mom to leave school and to go with a strange man? What?
Yes. And the mom agreed. Yes.
This is morally insane. So parents are handing their children over to total strangers? Was she paid for this crime or what?
So what's happening is because of the drug abuse and the crimes in our community, the degeneration of the communities, because of these officials who are not stepping up to when they take these oaths in office, there's a lot of degeneracy in these areas. And, you know, they target specific zip code credit scores. They'll pull data from places with 500 credit scores, 300 credit scores, and go, and you can look at this information yourself. This is a business, right? This is a business.
I apologize terribly, but we have to wrap it up. Can you please tell everybody how they can find you and learn more about this and watch your documentary, Border Wars?
You can go to my website, BorderWarsDOC.com, BorderWarsDoc.com.
Thank you so much. And what courage you have to tackle this heartbreaking issue. We so appreciate your time. That does it for this edition of The Alan Nathan Show. Thanks for joining us. And tune in again on The Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.